Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
A new report says Americans are saving less money than ever before. That's today's episode. Let's dive into it. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris, and this is one of the episodes where Clayton crap talks the stock market.
Hey, wait a second.
This is what you do. So brace yourself, everybody.
Well, not entirely, but yes, we're going to talk about that because this show, if you're new to it, we talk about real estate investing. We don't fall in love with real estate. It's four walls and a roof, I always say. You put in a new furnace, new water heater, upgrade it nicely to get it rent ready for tenants, and it cash flows every month, month in and month out. That's how you build passive income. It's not sexy. It's not flashy. But it is slow and steady, and that's how you actually build wealth in this country. And so when the Wall Street Journal this week came out with a new report about the way in which Americans are saving, we were talking about it over the breakfast table, and the headline is this: with stocks surging, Americans are saving at a 12-year low. And there's a lot of nuggets in this article, in this report, that we should dive into.
Right. This set Clayton's hair on fire over his morning coffee, and he was like, look at this! Maybe not so much because of the stock market, but I guess because this article says that the soaring stock market is the impetus for a kind of happy times are here again type lifestyle for Americans. Now, the reason this is kind of scary is not because we think that everyone should be saving more in a nest egg, but because of the sort of wasteful habits that are coming back into vogue. Like, oh, I'll just, you know, borrow from my retirement account not put it back, but just to, like, I don't know, redo the basement or whatever. I guess we shouldn't be talking about redoing the basement given we're sitting in our redone basement.
Well, we'll get to there in a moment, but I want to kind of dive into some of the things that the story says. One of the things that stood out to me, I didn't realize this, U.S. households' net worth has risen from $56 trillion in 2008 to $97 trillion in the third quarter of 2017. So it's natural, as they say, for people to want to, you know, spend a little bit of their lifetime savings when assets are increasing. And highlighted one woman who she said, I'm going to highlight this one woman who she's a healthcare consultant. She said her investment property in Portland, Oregon has more than doubled in value since she bought it in 2009. And she's thinking about selling it to reap the capital gain. Okay, now this was the first paragraph that jumped out to me and set my hair on fire because I thought, okay, I just know, I have an intuitive knowing that this woman does not own this in an LLC. She probably does not own this in a business entity. So now what she's going to do is sell this property and pay enormous capital gains taxes on that property instead of doing one thing we would talk about here on the show, which is
1031 exchange.
Right, putting it in a 1031 exchange and transferring it to more investment properties that are actually receiving a higher return on investment. She could take that one rental property that has appreciated and she could sell it in a 1031 exchange and buy seven rental properties.
Right. So, I mean, we're going to assume that this rental property in Portland is making some pretty good cash flow right
now. Are you going to assume that? I'm assuming that it's just appreciated.
And she's probably renting it out pretty steadily, right? So keeping it would be my first inclination, or maybe increasing the rent. Or if it's doubled in value, I would sell it, 1031 exchange it into two rental properties and double my investment income, right? But what does it say she wants to do here? She wants to take a ski vacation to Japan and buy a new van. Now, okay, don't laugh at her because we can't laugh at other people's dreams, right?
It could be laughing at her ski vacation.
It could be this is the thing that's been on her vision board for decades. So maybe this is how she's like, I'm going to get there, right? But clearly, the reporter put her in as an anecdote for the fact that people are living a little bit more carefree.
Okay, so I want to analyze this a little bit more. So yes, let's say you have a portfolio of 30 rental properties, okay? I often say here on the show that you should have some B-class properties in your portfolio. That doesn't come from me. That comes from experts who taught me. So if you've got 30 properties, 25 of them should be C-class, high return on investment, high ROI, right? And then have a number of B-class in there that are you're playing that appreciation game with. Maybe they get a little lower ROI, maybe an 8% return, 9% return. But you bought it for 70, maybe it hits 110, or maybe it goes up to 120 in an expanding market. Great. Analyze your portfolio and think to yourself, great, I could sell those two or those five that I've got and 1031 exchange them into 10 other properties in a higher ROI class.
Yeah.
So that's my first inclination with her. Secondly,
and I just think a trip to Japan, a ski trip to Japan in a new van, probably she could pay for in about 6 months' rent.
Exactly. So that was my next point, which is what if she took that investment property in Portland and converted it using a 1031 exchange and purchased like seven rental properties in the 50, 60,000 range? I don't know how much a house in Portland is. I can guarantee you, though, it's a couple hundred thousand. It's going to be probably $400,000 or $500,000.
Well, especially we're assuming that it's doubled in value in the last 8 years. So then it's going to be in a A or B class neighborhood. So we're assuming now that in Portland, you're not going to be getting less than $2,000 a month for something like that.
So now imagine taking that sum of money, that wealth that she has on that property, and instead of selling it outright and paying capital gains, she 1031s exchanges it into seven or eight rental properties. Okay. And then she takes that now monthly cash flow, which will probably be what, $5,000 a month.
I would assume. I mean, she could at least take $2,000 and turn it into five in rental income and then
go on your vacation. Your ski vacation is now paid for with a smart upward mobility investment strategy, taking that one that she's going to sell and transitioning it into. So again, this sort of, yes, happier times are here again. And so people are just going to buy a van and a ski vacation. That, you're right, is the point of this piece. It also highlights,
although I guess the Olympics are in Japan, right? Are they in Japan this year?
They were there aren't they in Japan like every year?
Where are the Olympics? No.
I don't even know where they are this time.
Yeah, they are. Anyway, I'm going to Google that while I say something else stupid. But I can't see how it would be more expensive than 2 or 3 months' rent of what she would be making right now.
No. And again,
unless she's taking her whole family.
Right. So my point is that there's a way smarter way of building wealth and using this strategy and this sort of happier times are here again. But the piece also points out that household debt levels aren't much higher now than they were in the mid-2000s. So even though wealth and incomes have risen, household debt levels fell a little bit. So interest rates have held the cost of servicing that debt down a little bit as well. So interest rates are down.
Right.
Debt levels aren't soaring. And we're worried about some of these shifting Fed numbers right now. But the other thing that they highlight in this piece is more Americans now are taking the additional money out of they're getting home equity lines of credit. What else are they doing? Oh, they're borrowing from their retirement accounts.
Yeah.
And they said they've never seen more people upgrading their kitchens and bathrooms. Right now, investors are tapping into retirement accounts for expenses out of overconfidence rather than desperation, noting that everybody and their brother right now is renovating their kitchen and their bathroom right now.
Isn't that what the contractor in Pennsylvania told us?
Did he?
He's like, I have more renovation projects that I can even handle. And
that's because people are, instead of taking money out of their retirement account, their 401k, or even their home equity line of credit, and purchasing investment cash flowing rental property, they're putting in new sinks and granite countertops.
So from a high level investment analysis here, right, you're taking a performing asset, which is your retirement account. Now, it may not be an awesome performing asset, but it still is a performing asset. And you're putting it into a non-performing asset, right? Like your basement, because those kind of things only really nominally add to the house value. And so, and also the appreciation of your house is not money you can live on, right? Your primary home is usually your weakest performing asset.
Your biggest liability.
Yeah, and that too. And so I guess, you know, I don't want to say like you shouldn't have that redone kitchen. If you've been dreaming about the kitchen, you definitely should have it. But you need to be making, in my opinion, decisions based on how you can take your money and buy more assets. Like Robert Kiyosaki says, the rich buy assets and the poor buy liabilities. So don't put any more money into your liabilities. If happy times are truly happy times, take that money, buy performing assets and have happier times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we took some money that we had, but we upgraded our basement. It was an empty basement, but we built a studio. So we're broadcasting right now from our new studio.
Right. You know, we actually didn't borrow from any investment accounts for that, though. Right. We saved enough for that to pay for it cash in current value cash.
Now, another part of this article, though, that we could kind of wrap it up on is this idea that saving, you know, and I've done a podcast, a recent episode where I talked about if you're a saver, you're a loser. If your mentality is around saving, then you're losing. And that's the mentality of the millennial generation right now, is to not buy any performing assets, to just put money in a bank account and sit on it. Yeah. That is a losing strategy. Remember, what you're saving is really air. Paper money is government money. It's fiat currency. It's not backed by anything. It's not backed by gold. The government can print if they want to. Inflation rate, it doesn't matter. It's not backed by anything. And so if you're saving cash for what? Then you're losing. And that's what this piece is saying, that people are not even saving it. They're not even, they're taking this money and they're putting it towards liabilities. That's even more troubling.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I could understand having $100,000 in cash in your account waiting for the right asset to buy that's going to perform for you. These people are buying vans and ski vacations with this money. Today's episode is brought to you by Betterment. It's the largest independent online financial advisor, and it's the service designed to help improve customers' long-term returns and lower taxes for retirement planning, building wealth, and other financial goals. We're talking about financial goals, right, on this today's episode, of course, so this is incredibly important. Betterment takes advantage of investment strategies and then uses the technology to deliver them to more than 300,000 customers. So why would I choose Betterment? Well, experts who have your back. And we believe you should be able to get financial advice anytime, anywhere. All Betterment customers can receive advice from the team of licensed financial experts through their mobile app's messaging feature. Betterment is a fiduciary. That means that they don't get commissions for recommending funds. Like, if you want to have some of your money in some different funds, in, you know, for a diversified portfolio, they don't make money off of that. And they don't have funds of their own that they try to cram down your throat. They do what they believe is right for you. Another reason I these guys are great is they have low transparent advisory fees. So what that means is they only have a 0.25% annual fee. You've heard us talk about on the podcast all of those hidden fees that ends up, you know, you're paying financial advisors. Different here with Betterment. So you know what you're getting up front. It's not hidden. It's transparent. And they have tax-saving strategies to help increase your after-tax returns. So everything they do is designed to lower taxes, increase your returns. On average, Betterment's tax-coordinated portfolio can increase portfolio value by an estimated 15% over 30 years. And they've got great advice, too, that looks at all of your wealth. So if you've got real estate investing, which I hope you do, and you've got some money and some funds, Betterment can give you a clear view of your net worth. And when you sync your outside accounts, such as, you know, your Bank of America account or your Wells Fargo account, all of that stuff, and your other investments like your real estate investing, all tied under one roof, then Betterment can show you how much of your outside brokerage accounts may be costing you in fees. That's what we did. I mean, we found out that we had so many fees in these other brokerage accounts, and we, of course, stopped them immediately. We had to reposition our money and pull money out, but we didn't realize how much in fees we were paying. That's why technology has helped making it, you know, investing so much easier and better. And that's the beauty of Betterment. Here, you have to do this. Investing in real estate listeners can get up to 1 year managed free, totally free. For more information, visit betterment.com/Clayton. That's betterment.com/Clayton. It's BETTERMENT. Betterment.com/Clayton. I would love to use Betterment if I could, but since Betterment is a sponsor of the show, I'm not able to because of SEC regulations, unfortunately. Betterment can help you strive for higher returns. That's their goal. And it's a smarter, cheaper, more efficient way to invest. Check them out today and use that coupon code betterment.com/Clayton. That's my thoughts on that. Any final thoughts?
Well, no. Again, I think I always say no, and then I make a – I've noticed this in listening to our podcast. I always say no, I'm done, and then I make another point. So I should just say yes.
Yes.
I should say what I mean.
She always has something more to say.
Right.
Well, I mean, the thing about the rainy day fund.
I feel like I want to apologize for clean and hurting people's feelings. Because, again, I feel like you should have that ski vacation, and you should be able to renovate your kitchen to the way you want it. With the sort of caveat that you still are funneling most of your energy into performing assets that
assets,
you can eat off of.
Assets should pay for that ski vacation.
Exactly right.
Performing assets, the cash flow from those 7 or 8 rental properties that Clara should be transferring her money into out of that Portland account,
yeah,
or that Portland rental property, she could then purchase 7 or 8 rent. I mean, at our company, we have clients all the time. We had one client out of California. He was a surgeon, and he owned like 3 properties in Phoenix. And he's like, Clayton, these things, the ROI is terrible. I didn't know what I was doing. They're each worth like $400,000. He ended up buying like, I don't know, 20 rental properties with us with a very high ROI that consistently cash flow for him and his family. He transferred those assets using a 1031 exchange, and now he's where they weren't making very much money at all, and now they're making an enormous amount of return.
Right. I mean, right, reading that paragraph about Clara, I'm like, well, Clara needs to keep that. I mean, even if she doesn't want to use that appreciation, like there's so many ways she could refinance it, take that appreciation without selling it.
Right, she could pull the equity out.
Take the equity out and buy something else. And then you don't have to 1031 exchange, you just buy something else, right? So I don't like that Clara's doing that, but I don't know her, and I hope she has an awesome ski vacation. By the way, the Olympics are in South Korea.
But you also don't know if the ROI is good on her property. I mean, if she's got an A-class property, typically the ROI is going to be very, very low. So maybe.
But I don't think investors think about that. Like when I owned an investment condo in San Francisco, all I cared about was really like, when do I get my investment back, right? You don't think – you're not taught to think in terms of cash flow. So that much I understand.
Yeah. So there you go. Troubling news out of the Wall Street Journal with stocks surging. Americans are saving at a 12-year low and they're buying ski vacations. So at least our audience is smart enough to know that that's not the way to do it. Really think about those things the next time you're thinking about, you know, putting more money into your liabilities. So that's today's episode. Any final thoughts?
Buy performing assets, everybody.
Yes, really performing assets.
Channel your energy into things that perform, right? Okay.
There you go. So we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks to all of your kind feedback and comments. Please subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. We really appreciate it. Share this show with loved ones. And you can hit the little notification icon, too, if you're watching the video version of this, so you can get the notifications when we go live. We're doing a lot more live content here on the channel. And it'll also notify you when a new episode is live as well. Super cool stuff.
Excellent.
So we'll see you next time, everyone. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor, and buy performing assets. Don't be like Clara and buy a ski vacation. We'll see you next time.